With the 114th Congress starting tomorrow, how soon will the Keystone Pipeline be on the floor? The new Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has said that passing a bill to build it will be the top of his agenda. This week, we want to take a look at the way a Republican-led Congress might handle issues of energy. We've teamed with the folks at Inside Energy, a reporting project out of Colorado, Wyoming, and North Dakota. Executive Editor Alisa Barba joins us to get that started. And Alisa, what can we make of McConnell's pledge on Keystone?
This has been a long, long debated issue in the Congress. The House has approved the Keystone Pipeline 9 times. It's been through the Senate, I think, 3 times. It has never been approved. But it looks like now, with the new Republican majority and new members of the Senate who are Republicans, that there are at least 60 votes. So this will be an easy victory out of the gate, really, for the Republicans. It makes it look as if it, which they have to make it look, as if they can govern. Here's the thing, though. Obama has not indicated really which way he's going to go on this. He could easily veto it, at which point they probably would not have the votes to overturn the veto.
And remind us why the Keystone Pipeline, which would run from Canada all the way down to the Gulf Coast, has been a poster child for environmentalists, as you say.
A poster child for environmentalists and a flashpoint in the energy debate. The Republicans very much want this pipeline approved, even though, you know, with falling oil prices right now, there's a lot of debate about whether it actually could be economical. It's very expensive to take the tar sands and turn it into oil. Environmentalists see this as a dangerous step to increasing our dependence on very dirty fossil fuels. They've made it, you know, a real key debating point in the Congress. They want it defeated at all costs, but the Republicans want it passed at all costs.
Okay, so Keystone is, as you say, probably right out of the gate. What other energy questions do you think we'll get answers to maybe in 2015?
Well, I don't know if we're going to get any answers, Robin. I think that the energy is going to be really at the center of a lot of conversation and a lot of debate in the next Congress. Two key chairs of key energy committees are both fossil fuel proponents, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska and James Inhofe of Oklahoma. Inhofe himself has said that he is going to be challenging the Environmental Protection Agency with every single rule. And a couple of really key rules that are going to be coming out this year have to do with carbon emissions from existing power plants and carbon emissions from new power plants. They don't want the EPA to put those rules in place. They say they will cost jobs. They will make our electricity prices go up. So they will do everything they can to defund those EPA initiatives.
Now, what other rules might they want to look at?
There's a ton of them out there. There's protections for water quality. There's mountain strip mining. There's methane pollution as it's related to fracking. And coal ash, all kinds of things. Again, Inhofe has said that he's going to be challenging every single EPA rule.
And what else?
Well, I think that we might see some bipartisan agreement on a couple of energy issues, which are interesting. One is energy efficiency legislation. There's a bill that's been kind of foundering in Congress for the last few years, the Shaheen-Portman legislation on energy efficiency. It looks like that may have a good chance. Again, an easy win, an easy bipartisan passage this year. And, you know, I think that renewables may see some hope in the new year, in the new Congress as well, with some extension of tax credits for wind and solar.
Okay. Well, we will be digging deeper into all of these issues all week. Alisa Barba, executive editor of Inside Energy, the public radio reporting project focusing on America's energy issues. Thanks for getting us started.
Thanks so much, Robin.
And we want to go down to North Dakota to hear how the debate over the Keystone Pipeline is playing out in oil boom country. Inside Energy's Emily Guerin has that story.
The pipes that could eventually become the northern leg of Keystone XL have sat in a field in western North Dakota for almost 3 years. In the winter, they're covered with snow. In the summer, they're overgrown with yellow sweet clover. It's a pretty quiet scene, one that belies how important this pipeline has become in American politics.
It is about energy. It is about jobs. It is about economic growth. And it is about national security by building a secure energy future for this country and not depending on the Middle East for our energy.
That's North Dakota's Republican Senator John Hoeven speaking at the Capitol in November after the Senate failed to pass his bill to approve the pipeline. Keystone has become the battle Republicans want to win in the new Congress. Bill Galston is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution.
As sometimes happens in politics, a small thing comes to stand in for a much larger set of issues.
For Republicans, Keystone stands in for an all-of-the-above energy strategy
that does not, as they would put it, discriminate against fossil fuels.
There's another reason why Republicans latched on to Keystone.
You had one very prominent environmentalist saying, you know, if Keystone is put into place, it's, quote, game over for the climate.
That's Barry Rabe, a University of Michigan political science professor.
That's a pretty extreme statement, but that triggered a lot of protests, and a lot of groups put a lot of energy into trying to at least delay Keystone and potentially block it.
As Keystone became central to each side's political agenda, one group became increasingly disinterested in the pipeline: oil companies in North Dakota. Harold Hamm is the CEO of Continental Resources, one of the largest oil producers here. He recently told reporters the pipeline was, quote, irrelevant. Roger Kelly is the director of regulatory affairs for Continental. At a recent meeting in Bismarck, he confirmed that.
We're successfully transporting crude by rail right now. There are other issues that are much more important.
In the absence of a pipeline, oil companies are moving by train some 800,000 barrels of oil a day out of North Dakota, even though that is more expensive and puts trackside communities at risk.
I think when you measure Keystone XL on its specific impact on crude oil volumes leaving North Dakota, it's a pretty small impact.
Len Helms is the director of the North Dakota Department of Mineral Resources. He says building Keystone is still important to oil companies here because it's, you guessed it, a symbol.
When you look at it sort of in the broader scope, though, the ability to get a large interstate pipeline for crude oil permitted and constructed is critical.
Let's go back to the Senate battle over Keystone for a minute. Beyond the pipeline's symbolic importance to the GOP, there's a personal story that helps explain support for Keystone. And it has to do with the man we heard from at the top of the story.
Approve this project.
Senator John Hoeven was governor of North Dakota when the oil boom here first took off in the mid-2000s. It became immediately clear the state did not have a good way to move all that oil. Here's Len Helms again.
At that time, the only two possibilities were crude by rail or Keystone XL. And Governor Hoeven invested a lot of time and effort really pressuring TransCanada and Keystone to create an opening and an on-ramp for North Dakota crude oil.
For Hoeven, building Keystone was a way of making sure North Dakota didn't get left out of the fracking boom. And for Republicans, that's what it still represents: keeping government out of the way so energy development in America doesn't fall behind. For Here and Now, I'm Emily Guerin in North Dakota.
And Emily's story came to us from Inside Energy, a public media collaboration focused on America's energy issues. And we'll have more stories as the week goes on, looking at energy in a Republican-controlled Congress.